Today on episode number 402 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/402. We've got a interview with a podcaster who has landed a stint on satellite radio and has built not a 3, not a 4, not a 5, not a 6. That's right. A 7-figure business with his podcast. You're going to love this interview. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
All podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to promoting, all points in between. Everything you need to start a successful podcast is at the School of Podcasting.com. I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone. We flatten a learning curve, and I let you know that you are never alone in your podcast journey. And if you would like to join in on the conversation, I would love to hear from you. Just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. Man, we got a lot of info to chew on. Next week's show is going to be about what makes you you. And I was going to talk about it today, and I got on the horn with Jordan Harbinger from the Art of Charm podcast. You're going to hear from Jordan in a minute. Man, there's some gold nuggets in that bad boy. And I went through to kind of pull out stuff that maybe wasn't relevant. And I was just like, this is just a good interview. So I'm going to be right here with you listening to it. All right. Well, joining me via Skype, I am really excited about this chat. I met Jordan on a podcaster's roundtable. And anytime I hear somebody goes, oh, yeah, I'm making a living using my podcast to market my services, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Got to get you on the show. So Jordan Harbinger, thank you so much from theartofcharm.com for coming on the show.
Thanks, man. It's Harbinger. I'm just kidding. after 20 minutes of going back and forth on that. Yeah.
Let's start out. What I want to do is kind of get your story, because you guys are going through the roof over there at theartofcharm.com. So let's start off. You started your podcast in 2006. Let's go back 30 days from the day you launched it. What were you doing?
30 days from the day that I launched it?
Yeah, you were in law school. I know that.
I was, yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, man, 7 years ago. Okay, yeah. So it was a long time ago. 30 days from the day that I launched it, what we had started off doing, not knowing anything about podcasting, because I think at the time, and I'm sure someone's going to correct this stat because it's a podcaster's show, but I feel like there were a few hundred podcasts in the iTunes store, probably under 1,000. And I remember being like, okay, well, if we launch this, I don't just want to have one thing in there. I want people to get in the habit of listening. So we launched with, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, which turned out to be a really good idea because people had more than one little bite to chew on. And so what I had done is I stayed up a lot. I mean, it was my main hobby, and I was studying for the bar exam, which really sucks. So I had, you know, essentially nothing else to do other than study for the bar exam and go on Google and look for every blogger in the niche, every person who might be interested in the show. And at that point, I didn't interview people. I just was talking about dating and relationship stuff with my business partner, who, well, there was no business back then, with my co-host AJ. And we were talking about girls and being confident and public speaking and networking and stuff like that. And so I emailed tons of bloggers. And back then, that was back in the day when you could go to a blogger and go, hey, would you link to me? And they'd go, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, cool. And they weren't like, yeah, for $1,000 and a link back and then a logo and a network, you know, whatever. Right. We would email those guys, and I mean, I'd email just dozens and dozens and dozens of them and would have them link the stuff up, and I was in all the discussion forums. I mean, this is not really that effective promotion. Maybe it is if you're just starting, but it was a lot of time going in discussion forums and joining discussions and being like, here's a bunch of advice that answers your question, and also I have a podcast about it. I mean, that was just like grunt work. I spent hours and hours a day doing it.
Okay, I want to pause that here. This is something we've said all along. Podcast promotion is about finding where your audience is, going there, making friends with them. Notice he said, I went and joined the forums, gave a bunch of information, then told people about his podcast.
And I didn't care because I was looking at my site meter stats, which is what I used at the time. And I mean, when I saw that somebody had downloaded it that hour, I was like super stoked. You know, and I would go like, oh my God, someone from Canada just downloaded the show. That's amazing. And then like 12 people from the UK downloaded it yesterday. We're international, you know, and now if I'm like, if I'm getting like 1,000 an hour, I'm like, oh, I think something's broken, you know? So it's so funny to look back at that and just look at how crazy obsessed we were. I mean, I would stare at that map of where the downloads were coming from that had like 28 dots on it, because right. That was what we got that day. And I would hit reload and hit reload and see if anything new popped up.
So you can see that Jordan, like everybody else, a new podcaster, a little obsessive about his stats. So don't feel bad. We all know we shouldn't, but you know what? We all do. That's just the way it is. So what inspired you? I mean, you're studying for the bar. Most people are like, man, I can't wait to pass the bar and go out and make, you know, gazillions of dollars. Why did you decide, I think instead of studying, I'll start podcasting?
Back then, I had an internship with a law firm. Mm-hmm. And there was a partner that hired me that was never in the office. And I caught up with him one day because he was supposed to be like my mentor. They assigned it to him. And I was right. like, all right, I don't know if I care about this job at this particular firm. So I'll just be blunt. I was like, hey, man, how come you're never in the office, but everybody says you make more money than everybody else? Thinking he was going to be like, excuse me. Right. But I just wanted to know, like, when you get to partner, do you just coast? Like, what's the deal? And how come he makes more? Like, how does this really work? And even if that bites me in the ass asking that question, at least I know the answer, maybe. And he was like, oh, he's like, you know, those peons that work every night, Sunday, you know, in the office at 1 o'clock in the morning. He's like, I don't have to do that. I just got back from Cancun. You know, I do jujitsu. I had a charity event last night. I'm never in the office, but what I do is more important and I'm irreplaceable. And I was like, okay, either this is the most arrogant dude in the world or he's onto something. So I was like, what do you mean? He goes, those guys are replaceable. Anybody can push a pencil, type a brief, draft a document, check work from the junior associates like you. He's like, but I'm out there generating business. And I was thinking, well, that's interesting. What does that entail? Because I hate checking documents and I hate organizing and I hate all that. And he's like, I'm out there playing golf. I'm hanging out. I'm generating relationships. And if I ever leave here, they can't fire me. But if I ever leave here, I could take all those clients with me to the next firm. So they have to pay me more because otherwise I'll just bounce. And I was like, this guy writes his own ticket and all he does is be social and like essentially sell the firm. So I was like, all right, this bar exam stuff is all fine and good, but I need to learn that skill set. That's obviously far more important.
Okay, I'm going to pause that here. This is an old Tony Robbins. If you're familiar with Tony Robbins, he's that motivational speaker with a giant melon. And Tony says, find somebody who is successful and find out what they do, how they do it, and basically mimic them. And that's basically what Jordan did. He's like, wow, that sounds really cool. That sounds like something I would like to do. It sounds like something I would like to know about. And basically, that discussion ignited his passion.
Because not only is he making more, but he's irreplaceable. And it sounds like a million times more fun.
Yeah, I think Cancun sounds a little more fun than fact-checking.
And Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, no kidding. So I was like, okay, I got to get this skill set down. So I read every book on networking, tons of books on psychology. And I started looking at what these pickup guys were doing on the internet, which back then there wasn't really any like pickup artist community, which is great because those guys are weirdos and they still are. And I started talking with them about psychology and I started going out alone and applying it. And then I ran into AJ and AJ was really good with girls and he still is. He's like really, really good with women. So I started to go out and we ran into each other and he was like, dude, you know everyone, like every doorman, every bartender, the owners of all the venues. How do you do that? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you get every check that looks at us and like end up, you know, how is that? There's the more salient question, right? So we started sharing knowledge on both of those subjects. And eventually we had dudes following us around Ann Arbor every single night. We went out six nights a week and guys started to go, hey, you need to write a book. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. While I study for the bar exam, I'm going to write a book. And AJ's like, he was a cancer biologist. Uh-huh. So he's like, write a book. Which one of my other books should I stop writing in order to write a book about meeting chicks at bars? Like, who cares?
Okay, I want to pause this here a second. Notice one of the things he did. He went out, he read every book. He investigated the other kind of dating relationship sites. And what did he determine? He saw that some of these, I think he said most of these are creepy, right? So he found out not only what did he want to do, but he also said, this is how I'm not going to be. And I always tell people, when you start a podcast, go see if there are other podcasts in your genre and write down what you like. But more importantly, write down what you don't like.
If you want to learn it, just follow us around, buy us some gin and tonics, and you know, you'll pick it up, which isn't true. And we have a curriculum for that now at the Art of Charm, which is our service, and we'll get into that. But essentially, he goes, you know what? I read this article about this thing called podcasting, and like, I have a Mac, and you know, we can go and get some microphones from Guitar Center really cheap. And like, and we were making money taking guys out and helping them meet girls during the day. So we were like, we already had the money, just we were spending it on booze. And he's like, we can take some of this bar money and buy some microphones. And basically we just record ourselves talking for like 20 minutes or something. And we can like talk about all these skills that we teach these guys every day. And then when they ask us about it, we can just tell them that they can go download it. And we're like, okay. So we recorded it. And instead of 20 minutes, it turned into 40, 45 minutes. And instead of 10 to 20 episodes of stuff about dating, it turned into, I think we're at, I mean, I've unlabeled and there's some bonus episodes. I mean, it's around 250 hours.
So think about that. He was kind of shackled in a certain sense, right? There's only one of you. And if you want to teach everyone, you're kind of in a situation where you can't scale because there's only one of you. How is that going to work? And one of the benefits of having a podcast is if somebody wants to know if you know your stuff, is to point them at your website and go, here, I've got 401 episodes that pretty much prove, I feel, that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to podcasting.
So, yeah, there's more than 250 episodes of the show that 7 years have gone by. And now it's expanded. The horizons have been broadened like crazy. But yeah, it's there.
Now, as you're doing that, did you, obviously, I guess you didn't start it off as, hey, we'll do a business. It just kind of grew into that.
Right.
Well, first of all, did you pass the bar?
I did. I passed the bar in New York. I was a lawyer for a while. It sucked, et cetera.
Okay. So that's the fun part. Most people, right? My mom wants me to grow up and be a doctor or a lawyer. You're a lawyer. And in 2006, you start. What point do you go, you know, this lawyer thing sucks?
Yeah.
I really love this thing because it's got me going. I love this whole social aspect of it. How did you flip your one career for the other?
Okay, before we hear his answer, he used to be a lawyer. He used to be, technically he still is a lawyer. But he, think about that. Lawyer to podcaster. That's amazing in my book.
So what happened was when I was studying for the bar exam, I finished and then I was like, I'm going to Asia. So I traveled a bunch and did a bunch of stuff and I was still podcasting from Asia. But at that point, thankfully, the bar was pretty low for podcasting. So now I'm sitting in like an $8,000 studio. But, you know, back then I was like, oh, I heard there's a microphone inside the keyboard of my computer. I'll just use that, you know. So some of the earlier episodes are a little rough because I'm in Poland or like, you know, I don't know, Vietnam.
Right.
And we pre-recorded some as well, but we ran out because I was traveling for like 2 or 3 months. So after that, we had tons of guys. I mean, even when I was in Vietnam, I met up with guys that had listened to the show, which
that was the one that jumped out of me. Can you imagine that? You're podcasting from Michigan. You go to Vietnam and somebody goes, oh, I've heard of you. That shows the power of the global audience. That I just, when I heard that, I was like, man, that's cool. All right, continuing on.
Which is insane.
It is.
So I was like, there's something here. I don't really know how to market it, but I had a bunch of phone coaching clients and I was Skyping and charging them like at the time, $50 an hour, which is kind of funny compared to what the fees are now, and working with them on their problems and teaching them how to be more social, and dating stuff was the least of it. I mean, I had a client in Denmark who was an African immigrant to Denmark. And he's like, I don't know how to make friends. I feel really weird. And I'm like, oh, well, you need to be the one who's approaching people. Danish people aren't. And I had a lot of travel knowledge and I'd lived in Europe. So I was like, oh, I totally get what's happening. He's a black dude from another country that speaks another language. And he's expecting other people to be like, hey, you're new in town. Let's hang out,
which does not work in that area. And this is one of the things we're going to talk about next week. What makes you you? And in Jordan's case, not only does he have the law background, he's really into the social analytics, right, of looking at how and why people do what they do, but he's also got worldly travel knowledge. That's what makes Jordan Jordan. Nobody else is going to be like Jordan, and it's because of his history and his background. So, yeah, this guy says, you know, how do I do this? And he's like, that's not going to work at where you're at.
It does not happen in Scandinavia, right, generally. So I'm like, you need to be a much more aggressive, but not in a creepy way. And here's how you do it. And here's some drills that you can do. And he's like, you have changed my life, sir. And I'm like, this is really cool. I'm good at this. So eventually that snowballed into having so many that I needed to hire somebody to help me do that. So I did. And they moved into my apartment in New York and literally slept on the couch. And then I had guys being like, hey, I took a dating class and it sucked. And I've been listening to your show and I've been applying the stuff and it's awesome. Can I give you a bunch of money and come stay with you for a week? And I was like, this is really weird, but I don't know. What are you thinking? And he's like, $5,000. And I was like, yes, you can. I have plenty of room for you. So he gave me $5,000 and he offered to stay with me for the week. And then I talked about that on the show and how like I had sent my coach out with him and, you know, I'd gone out with him and he had this crazy, amazing time. And he gave us a testimonial. At this point, we're in Manhattan, right? So he's having an amazing time. So I'm like, all right, this is really great. And so I talked about that on the show. And then like people were like, oh, that's an option. Where do I sign up for that? And then we started selling these things out, you know, weeks in advance. And I thought, oh, okay, I accidentally started a business.
Oops.
And then AJ was like, really? That's working? Well, cancer biology stinks. I'm moving to New York. Clear out a couch for me. So we rented another apartment and he moved in, you know, to New York, which was awesome. And so it was like the whole crew back together. We hired another coach. We hired a salesperson, you know, to manage like the clients. We hired a secretary and we had this crazy business going literally all in my apartment in Manhattan. I haven't told this story for years. So this is fun. So we started this business and I was like, all right, why do I have to get up early, go do boring crap till like midnight or 10 p.m., come home and everyone's like, meet us out, we're having an awesome time. And the guys are like, this class is changing my life and I'm having the time of my life and we're all out having a late night meal, come join us. And I'm like, I feel like this is the coolest thing ever, but now I have to go to work tomorrow and miss more. So eventually the real estate market, which is where I was working, wasn't doing so well.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like being a lawyer anyway. So they were like, listen, if anybody wants to voluntarily leave the firm, we'll give you a severance of 9 months pay. And I was like, 9 months pay and benefits? Awesome. So I took all that money, invested it into the Art of Charm, quit the law game, never looked back.
Beautiful. I always ask that question. It's kind of curious because most people that are making a living using their podcast, now in your case, you probably didn't, but, cause I'm assuming you had a bunch of student loans maybe from being a lawyer, but many times they're either A, debt free, but somehow have wouldn't be a landing strip. It'd be a place to take off. You have some breathing room to get it to fly. And it sounds like in this case, you had 9 months of income coming in to where you can go, okay, good. Now I can work on this full time and still basically get paid for my other job, which is just a beautiful situation to be in.
Okay, I'm going to pause myself there, and I'm going to interrupt. I know we're talking with Jordan, but he said something very cool there. A listener of his podcast came up and said, you changed my life. You changed my life. And there's a movie on Netflix right now, so we're going to take a little tangent, all right? You with me? We're going to go right back to Jordan. He's got more nuggets, but he just dropped a huge nugget. He changed the life of one of his listeners. And there's a movie on Netflix starring Ashton Kutcher of Steve Jobs. I want to play a clip from that. And for the record, I have no idea. This is probably not legal, but I'm going to play it anyway. Check this out.
I'm about to show you something that's amazing. Something that no one else in the world has seen yet. The device I'm about to introduce to you is going to revolutionize an entire industry.
He's talking about the iPod.
It's a music playing device.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a minute. Because what it represents is as important as what it is. It's a tool for the heart. And when you can touch someone's heart, that's limitless.
So people ask me sometimes why I got into podcasting, and I think that was one of them. The fact that when I first, back in 2005, when I got into podcasting, I had just gotten divorced from my first wife. We had spent ourselves into bankruptcy trying to have children, and I thought, okay, fine. I'm not going to have kids. I'm not even going to have a wife at that point. And I wanted to leave a legacy. I want to touch the world. I want to touch people's hearts. And that's what Jordan is doing over at the Art of Charm. And when you can change people's lives, they will pay to have their life changed. All right, so let's go back to Jordan. At this point, he's got his 9-month severance pay. He took that, he quit the law game, and he's never looked back.
Beautiful. I always ask that question. It's kind of curious because most people that are making a living using their podcast, now in your case, you probably didn't, but because I'm assuming you had a bunch of student loans maybe from being a lawyer, but many times they're either A, debt-free, but somehow have a place to take off. You have some breathing room to get it to fly.
We heard this part already.
And it sounds like in this case, you had 9 months of income coming in to where you can go, okay, good. Now I can work on this full time and still basically get paid for my other job, which is just a beautiful situation to be in. What changed then at that point? Was it just a matter of upgrading equipment, or what milestones along the way that you go, man, I'm glad that happened, because if we hadn't done that at that point, this wouldn't have happened.
One of the major things that was really awesome was I started reaching out to other podcasters.
Get your pencil out. I'm just telling you, get your pencil out.
And being like, hey, can I interview you or have you interview me? And I want to know how you got so big. And most of them were like, whatever, I'm not going to answer this email. And a lot of them were just disorganized, or they never looked at their podcast inbox because it was a hobby that they did sporadically. So one of the major things that we had started doing that really changed and took us way too long to realize is that you need to release regularly. Everyone listening is like, duh. But back, 5 years ago, releasing every Monday was like, wow, you release every Monday? That's amazing. We weren't doing that. We were just releasing whenever. And doing it at least once a week, that's something we always did that we found other people were never, they were like, oh yeah, I just release whenever, 1, 2, 3. And they're like, oh, I'm going to let this one sit for a while. I did that. That didn't help. That doesn't help. You might have a big guest and be like, I'm going to let that marinate. It doesn't let anything marinate. Just people just forget about you.
Right. Let your audience cool off.
Yeah. It just lets the audience cool off. Something I've tested recently that's really been gangbusters is twice a week releases instead of once a week. It really, speaking of cooling off, that really keeps people hot. And not only that, but if the guests are promoting for you, which is another thing I'll get into in a second, if they're promoting for you, then you keep riding that wave. And that's been really good. That's more recent. But honestly, upgrading equipment, I hate to say it, I've got the top end. I used to be a broadcaster on Sirius XM satellite radio because of the podcast. Maybe that's a milestone. But we got our own satellite radio show for years because they heard the podcast and they were like, this is the bomb.
Now, I know that sounds really, really cool. Stay tuned. I'm just telling you, it's awesome.
We need you to have your own show because there's nothing else like this, because no one's really teaching what we teach anywhere, let alone in radio format or podcast.
Okay. Again, I'm sorry, Jordan. Jordan's probably listening to going, dude, just let me talk. Nobody's teaching this stuff the way they're teaching it. Uniqueness, using what makes him him, right? His uniqueness, not doing what everybody else does, taking a topic, taking in a different direction. He knew what he didn't want to be. He wants to help people, and he has social proof that what he's doing is working, because people are going, can I give you money to do this? Now, for the record, I should probably say this up front. We're not all about the money here. It's nice to have money from your podcast. You should not start a podcast to solely make money. Like if somebody says, why did you start your podcast? And instead of saying, I want to touch people's hearts, you say, I want to make a stack of cash. It's probably not going to work.
Podcast format. So we had that. That got us a ton of listeners. But honestly, as far as equipment's concerned, yes, I've got the same setup as they have at Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and I hire a professional engineer to cut and master. Probably doesn't do squat. Maybe there's a fringe 5% or less of listeners who are like, I like this one because the quality's high. But I think most people don't care above a certain threshold. So I cringe a little in our podcasting group when people are like, which noise gate should I buy? And you and I were talking about this before. Which noise gate should I buy? Which XYZ thingamajig should I buy? I'm just kind of like, dude, who cares? You don't even need it.
Yeah,
you don't.
I know there are people that are self-professed podcast snobs. They say you need to obtain listenable. If it doesn't sound like it's, you're frying bacon underwater, I'll probably listen to it, but if it does, I'm probably not. And that's where I always say, you know, good content will kind of overcome, in some cases, bad audio quality. But on the other hand, if it's really bad, I can't take Blog Talk Radio stuff because it just, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, ugh, you know, and I will try very hard, but I'm like, can't do it. So
honestly, cutting out a lot of filler words, weird silences, weird transitions. Like I've listened to a show and they're like, hey, critique my show or a show I'll go on. I hate Blog Talk too, because they'll leave in the part where they're like, hello, can you hear me? Oh, okay, cool. And I'm like, you couldn't cut that out.
Yeah.
You had to waste, 15,000 people's time because you couldn't clip that part out. And then they're like, oh, hold on. I have to go check something. And they'll leave like this weird silence in the show. And I'm thinking, wow, this is why people don't take podcasting seriously, because of shows like that. So if you can cut out a lot of that crap, you don't even have to be a great charismatic host or have a $500 microphone in a studio to make that happen. Cut out the weird transition, cut out the weird silences. If you have a filler word problem, cut those out, and eventually you'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
Because if you have to cut out your own uhs all the time, it becomes so annoying that you will actively stop doing it when you record.
You start punching yourself when you say them. You're like, oh, yeah. I'm making more work for myself.
So then you have and then eventually it just fades out, because it really is such a pain to do that. And that's one of the vocal tonality exercises that I give guys at the Art of Charm as well. But it really will make a world of difference in listenability. And so, yeah, you'll get emails that are like, hey, man, turn the air conditioner off when you record. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. But at the end of the day, you've listened for 3 years. So I get that, you know, maybe you hit your breaking point, and I appreciate it. But yeah, the other thing is, you don't have to get an expensive mic to make it sound good. You just need the right mic. We started off with studio mics that were like Russian MXL studio mics. And those are great if you have a studio.
Right.
If you don't, what it does is it picks up the cricket that farted in the woods outside. And now every little thing is, I mean, you could open a door upstairs and you'd get that wind blowing downstairs to the basement where we used to record. And you could hear that.
Yeah, you can literally pick up the sound of a pin dropping. I've tested that. You can do it.
Yeah. So I want to interrupt here. Do you hear what he's saying? This is a guy that's been doing this for 7 years, and it's not about the equipment. Granted, you cannot record with your built-in microphone on your 13-year-old laptop. That is not going to do it. Blog Talk Radio, ick. Talk Shoe, ick. What it's about is, what does he do? He edits. He edits out. He thinks about his audience, and he edits out the part that's going to annoy them, because it's about the content. I love that. I was like, yes, preach on, brother. Brother Jordan, preach it.
Yeah. And so you don't want a mic with that kind of sensitivity. And so that's why I understand people are like, I need a noise gate. And it's like, no, you need a microphone that's not that. I mean, you could get a $450 microphone used from eBay for like $300, get like an Electro Voice RE20, and then plug it into the crappiest garbage that you can find, like used on eBay, some like slummy Behringer mixer, and just route that into straight into a USB thumb drive or into your computer, and you will sound a million times better than having those old MXL mics that we had plugged into anything else, because that's the top of the chain.
Yes,
right?
I have three of them sitting on my shelf. Yes. When I started off, I wanted to be like radio. So I bought radio microphones, and it's like, okay, well, that was a good move.
Yeah. And I'm actually using a, as we speak, this is being mixed using a Mackie 1202 VLZ3 that I bought on eBay.
So, but any digital broadcaster, like at Sirius XM, we have RE20s. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what we have. And I was like, oh, those look really fancy. What are these, $1,500? And they're like, no, these are used and they're probably $250. And you don't even need the RE27. I got one of those. It doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can blow a lot of money on gear. So how long did you do the satellite show for?
I did that for 3+ years, and they didn't just come. I know I said before they just like came to us. What happened was we used the networking skills that essentially are the bedrock of what we teach at the Art of Charm. And we can talk about that in a bit, but we use those networking skills and we got a guest spot on a popular show, and we went there and we were like, okay, pretty much no matter what they ask us, what we're going to do is coach. Because that's what we're really good at. So we went on that show and started coaching their producer. And they were like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. This is a bunch of garbage. And we were like, totally understand why you think that. Here's a bet. And we're live on air right now with these two like bros. Here's a bet. We'll take your producer and we will transform him. We'll transform him in a week. If we can't, then we'll come back in here and we will admit defeat. And that, look at that, how we set up our second appearance, even if we lose, right?
Nice.
But if we win, we come back in here and you guys have to have us back again in a month so we can do a follow up. And they're like, okay, cool. So either way, like we win, we come in twice more, or we lose, we come in once more, right? Not that bad. So we took their producer, we put him through an Art of Charm boot camp. He ended up having to cut the last day of class because of a work thing. He comes back in and we walk back in to do our follow up thinking we lost, and we're greeted by the station manager and the head producer who arranges all the guests. And she goes, I don't know what you guys did to this guy, but he is a totally different person. And we were like, oh, that's awesome. And the station manager goes, hey, can you come up to my office after you guys are done on the show? We go on the show and they're like, all right, fine. We admit it. You guys know what you're talking about. He's got dates. They call him Spot. They're like, Spot's got dates lined up. And you know, as much as I hate to say it, whatever you did, he won't. And they were like, oh, he just won't listen to us. I mean, maybe he listened to you because he doesn't know you, but he won't listen to us. And then we were like, okay, fine. That's all fine and well. We coached some callers. At the end, we walk up to the station manager's office and he's like, you guys have something here. You're not that bad on air. We should do something, some kind of trial. I'm not really sure what it is. Hit me up in a few months and we'll see. So I gave him a card and I was like, I've also got a podcast, if you know what that is. And he goes, that's a dirty word around here at SiriusXM, but I will have a listen. So he listens and he calls like 2 weeks later and he goes, I've been listening to your show. You know, you guys don't have the greatest equipment, but we'll fix that. Why don't you come in and do a trial?
Okay, I want to pause this. He handed him a card. So there's your business card. Directs people to his website where his podcast is. And I say a lot of times your podcast can be an audio business card. And again, it's social proof that you know what you're talking about. And what did it do? It landed him a job.
So he came in and did a trial and it was like a 1 hour show at the crappiest time slot that they have, which is like 11 a.m. Pacific, Eastern time.
Right.
So it's like too late for the morning drive in LA and like too late for, you know, anything in the rest of the US. And we had a ton of callers and we were like, oh, we only had 25 callers. And they go, yeah, that's about five times more than average for a show in this time slot. And we were like, oh, okay. So then they said, can you come in every week and do a show? And we said, abso-freaking-lutely, we can. So we did that, and we had one of the most popular shows on the channel, which was at the time Maxim Radio.
Now, was the pay for that the fact that you just got to drive people to your traffic, or was there some monetary advancement in your way?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're kind of – it's weird. They're really sticky about us talking about that.
Okay.
But the biggest payoff that we had was definitely sending people our way.
Is that something – it sounds like that's gone by the wayside at this point?
It has. What happened was, honestly, and this is – I can't believe I didn't bring this up earlier.
Wait till you hear this. So if you're thinking someday I want to be on satellite radio, this is gold. I want to get this put on a plaque.
Podcasting audience is so much more engaged than the SiriusXM audience. It might go without saying, but honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if we have a bigger audience for our podcast than we did on live radio. Even when we got the evening drive time slot, which we did after our first year, we started to get the evening drive time slot. There were plenty of callers and plenty of engagement, but I really think that a strong podcast has a much bigger following than a satellite radio show. And they're going to kill me for saying this, but I guess I don't really care. But the other thing is, a lot of people go, oh my God, if I could only get on radio. Honestly, radio is not podcasting. Podcasting is now officially, I can say, having done both and having measurements for both, it is better.
If you could see me, you would see a humongous smile on my face right now. I'm like, yeah. And Norm, the guy from Westwood One that has now started Podcast One, has basically said the same thing. He says, I'll put up a podcast against any radio show any day because the connection you make via podcasting just buries radio in the dirt.
It does. I do Podcast One all the time. And the only reason I can't do a show on there is because now my studio's in San Francisco and they're down in Beverly Hills. But the thing is, honestly, Podcast One and any podcaster, you go in there and there's like guys who've done talk radio for 15 years who who are there now. And it's only a matter of time until Howard Stern's contract bleeding Sirius XM dry, it just till, or they go under because the lack of profitability. It's only a matter of time till he's like, I mean, he might retire, but the giants who are on radio now are just going to go F it and do podcasting.
Worked for Adam Carolla.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Worked for Adam Carolla. It's really, it's so much better because you can pre-record. And the thing is, if you really want live callers, you can still get them. But honestly, I think that most people don't care about that. I think most people are totally fine to have a one-way listen and then maybe contribute on a forum or Twitter.
Yeah. It's a, or just call in via voicemail, and it's a time-shifted conversation as opposed to one that's live.
Exactly. And I mean, live shows are great. They're fun. I'd love to do one as well. And they're always fun when I'm on a live one. But honestly, and that should make everyone out here really happy because they're thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm a podcaster. I'll never be radio. Good. You'll never be radio.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's like those guys who are like, I'm annoyed that I had to learn all this stuff about networking and women and charisma. And I'm like, you're at an advantage. People who are quote unquote born with it, which isn't a real thing, but I won't get into that whole biology, nature versus nurture thing. People who have it growing up, they never learned the advanced levels. But if you do it systematically, you can blow those guys away in a matter of years of practice. And so it's the same thing with podcasting. And people go, oh, it's never going to be radio. Well, good. They're topped out. You look at those guys who are on media outlets that are like, I want to interview you. And I'm like, cool. What's your audience? And they go, the whole Atlanta market, 6 million people. And I'm like, no. Atlanta's not listening to you. You're broadcasting it. And people who still have radios may be listening to you or the other 25 people that are on the radio bandwidth at that given time. But that doesn't mean that 6 million people are listening, you know. And but with podcasting, you can look and see your download numbers and go, wow, there's 10, 15, 20,000 people listening to this show, and you know that they're actually consuming it most of the time. Whereas with radio, you could broadcast something enormous. I mean, over a huge area, and there could be virtually no one tuning in.
Okay, I want to pause here a second because I occasionally will, when I bag on radio, and for the record, radio is not going away. I am not bagging on the actual DJs, unless, of course, you're Binky and the Wiz and you're horrible. But radio, the format has partly ruined itself. They're not letting DJs show their personality like in the 50s. Now, I'm not that old, but the days of Wolfman Jack and Alan Reed and Freed or whatever his name was, things like that. And it's now automated. I don't know about you guys. I hear, you know, Eddie Money, 2 Tickets to Paradise after the song. They've completely stripped it of its personality. So I'm not, when we talk in a negative aspect of radio here, it's not so much the people behind the microphone. It's the fact that that guy behind the microphone has to answer to not only the program director and the board of directors and the blah, blah, blah in the focus group. And it's just ruined the format.
I do want to mention one thing that you have that somebody starting today probably won't have. And you were basically one of the first podcast about dating and relationships. It was you, and when we talked earlier, you'd mentioned Emily Morris with Sex with Emily. We're going to talk about her in a second. But here's the thing that I find amazing. It's one thing to be first. It's another thing to stay on top, right? Anybody can, Milton Berle was, you know, Captain TV because he was up against a test pattern. It's another thing to stay, you know, at the top when you've got a lot of competition. And in your area of dating and success, and as much as it's the art of charm, and you even say, yes, we will help you pick up women, it's not the slimy, greasy, I don't know what, how you would describe it. There are those people that are just like, how to get chicks, and that's it. And it's, you're a little deeper than that. And so what makes your show better than the others, I guess, is a way of saying that.
Honestly, aside from consistency and editing and things like that, and of course now equipment, I think the massive difference, and I'd love to be like, it's my charismatic voice and my witty sense of humor. And there's hosting skills there, whatever. Let's let that go by the wayside because that comes with practice anyway. But one of the major things I think that has kept it legit is I've listened, of course, to all the competition in the past. And those guys come on and they go, you know, one of the reasons I'm so good with girls and here's this girl I banged and blah, 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 like really gross, like tacky
right
stuff. And we were on there going, you know, one of my biggest struggles is figuring this out. And this other thing I struggled with was, oh man, I'm still trying to work through this. But, you know, one thing I'm doing that's helped is this, this, and this. So I'm giving practical advice, but I'm also being completely authentic and vulnerable, where I'm not sitting there talking about how cool I am all the time about everything. I'm talking about where I'm falling flat, where I'm struggling, what might be going wrong, you know, in my own personal day, and not like, wow, my whole life is in shambles, but I mean like, hey, yeah, it, you know, I found it really hard to break into this scene too, or like one of the things I've really struggled with is I don't know how to mesh in a corporate environment or something like that. I will talk about that with a guest, and the guest will coach me on the air. We're not sitting there talking about how cool we are compared to everybody else.
Right. You don't always have to be the expert. You can actually kind of pull upside your listener and say, I'm just like you. I'm working on this too, which I would think would then build kind of an intimacy with your audience.
Yeah, it does. And I've definitely had, you know, episodes where that are more cocky than others where people are like, wow, you were off the chain on this one, dude. Calm down, slow your roll. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'll listen and be like, oh, that was a time when I wasn't feeling so good, or maybe I didn't like that guest or whatever. But, you know, as my hosting skills grew, now, even if I know more about what we're talking about than the guest, I try to let them talk as much as possible. And yeah, I try to figure out what they can teach. It's almost selfish. Like, what can you teach me so I can grow? But the thing is, the audience is right there with me.
I want to stop there again. So here, a lot of people just call this, you know, keeping it real, yo. So he does that. He lets his guests talk. I keep hearing podcasters where I did it a little this in this interview where you kind of have to chime in to say, look, I know what I'm talking about too. And as I listen to this, I'm like, I should have just shut up there and just let him talk. I hope I did. I don't know. I don't think I'm probably being hypercritical here, but keeping it real and finding good guests and then letting them do what they're supposed to do, which is bring the content.
So if I'm able to continually have the audience resonate and ask the questions that they would ask instead of thinking about how I'm going to demonstrate that I'm so cool, then the audience feels like they're almost communicating with me, you know, telepathically. I get that all the time. How did you know what I wanted to ask? And the thing is, you know, I'm present there with the guest. I'm thinking about what I would ask if I didn't already know a lot about it from research and stuff like that. And that's really been helpful. And so guests don't have to worry that I'm going to be reading cue cards or, you know what I mean? So there's a lot to be said for that. And I think being relatable is one of the hardest things to be as a show host of, or as a person, but as a show host, especially, and especially with guests that are trying to teach things. And then of course, the other thing is I don't let my guests sell anything. They're allowed to go, yeah, if you want more from me, just check, you know, my book is available at JordanHarbinger.com or TheArtOfCharm.com. I'll let them plug their stuff, but they can't do things like, and I will edit this out if they do, they can't do things like, sure, Dave, thanks for having me on. You know, since I wrote my book, How to Be a Killer Podcaster, available at http://howtobeawesomeatpodcastingandeverythingelseinlife.org/discount/Dave, I really realized that, you know, and I'll just cut it out, and then they'll listen to the show and they either don't notice or they go, what happened to,
yeah,
you know, the call to action? And I'm like, it's at the end where it belongs. That sort of is a meta skill set or a subset of a skill set, which is basically just knowing how to control a guest.
Well, how long does it take to produce an episode? Like when you start off, you know, how much prep do you put into an episode?
I will find a guest either because they came suggested, you know, maybe you email me and you go, hey, you know, have you seen this guy? I read his book and it was cool. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Would you make an email introduction? And the reason I have you do that is because, oh, it depends on who it is. But if it's some sort of like medium guy who's new, I'll have you do it because they're much more likely to answer. And also because why should I, you know, otherwise guests just go, or show listeners just go, you should interview this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And then they don't give me anything else other than a suggestion, which isn't as useful. So I'll have them make the intro and then they have to think, how bad do I want this guy on the show? And if it's good enough for the show for real, then they'll dig up the guy's contact info and do it. And so I'll get in touch with that guy. It's a stronger intro because now instead of me pitching them, it's a mutual fan of ours suggesting that they're a fit. And so then I'll do a short 5-minute intro call. And I used to not do this, but it's so important because you might read somebody's stuff on their blog and you're like, this guy is a stinking genius. And then you get them on the show and they're like, hello, yes, I really appreciate you, you know, and you're like, oh, I can't even work with this. Now I just want to hang up. but I can't be rude. So I got to do a half show with this Yahoo. So I'll do a 5-minute intro call and I will make sure they have the voice and the charisma for radio. Then I have a whole prep sheet that I send that's like bio, photo, bullet points I want to talk about on the show, a quote that you like, why is it important to you? What are your goals for the show? 3 practical exercises, you know, da 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 da, so that guys can come in prepared. Because there's always the guy who goes, I want to wing it. And I go, that's great, but I've been a broadcaster for 7+ years. I still don't wing it. So I really appreciate if you humor me on this one. And if they're like, I still want to wing it, I'm like, cool, we can totally wing it. I just need 5 bullet points, 3 things like that, and a bio and a photo. And I just make them do it anyway.
And I got to tell you, what's really cool about this conversation is when we got done and we talked for a while, and I'll talk a little bit about that. We are going to go a little long today. Hopefully I know you're with me. This is great stuff. I love that idea of sending people kind of not a huge, but what do you want to talk about on the show? So if somebody approaches you and says, I would like to be on your show. Okay, here, fill this out. Because it is, to a certain extent, if I go back to my musician background, it is a little bit of a cover charge, because if you're not willing to fill out a couple sentences about what you want to talk about, then you probably don't have really great content. So I love that idea, and kind of it's not a screening call, but it kind of is. Really cool stuff.
Much as I can. And sometimes people just don't get to come on, and that's fine, because honestly, if they don't even want to fill out a 10-minute prep sheet, they're probably going to half-arse the interview anyway. And then from there, I'll do the show recording, separate the tracks if I'm using call recorder, switch them over to AAFE, upload them to Dropbox, where my sound engineer that I hire, he will go through and master and do all the editing, which I used to do myself, on the tracks. And then I will create a show description, which I still do myself. And so honestly, prep time is probably 2x show time.
Okay. The thing I love to hear about that is, and you said my favorite word, winging it. I went to Chicago and I saw Second City, right? Supposed to be like the top of the line improv comedy.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to say 30% of it worked. And the other 70%, you're like going, well, that was an interesting take on Superman that was a waste of 6 minutes of my life.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, it's great when it works because you're like, wow, that was really funny. And they just did it off the top of their head, but it's not a way of life.
Right. And not to mention, not only are those people talented professional comedians much of the time,
right,
but they do entire courses where they're learning a structured way of winging it. They know what they're doing. There's only a few guys that I will let. I interviewed a guy named Tucker Max, if you've heard of him, and he's a well-known writer. He's done hundreds of interviews, and he goes, you know what? I'm really good in interviews. I'm going to play it by ear, if that's all right. And I went, yes, because I know his personality. I've spoken to him before. He's not going to come up short. And even then, there's tons of stuff that we edited out to make it more continuous. And that's great because it's Tucker Max and he's essentially a celebrity. If you are looking at some guy who's a blogger and he wants to wing it because he thinks he's brilliant because he's a writer and can think on the fly, you're going to run into a problem because he just doesn't know that he's not that good on radio, but you can't be the one to tell him.
Well, that was going to be my question. So you have an intro call with somebody and they're just a dud. How do you politely go, hey, thanks for checking in with us. Is it just we'll let you know?
And then you know what? Luckily, we're booked up. Our production schedule is so far in advance. It's going to be like 3 to 4 months, but we're definitely going to be, you know, looking for guests. If you know anyone else that should be on the show, I'm all ears. And, you know, basically just in case they want to help me find somebody else who might be better. But yeah, usually they just forget about it. Because honestly, somebody who's really inexperienced and can't do media, usually they're not really professional. So they're not going to write down and make a calendar note to check back in with me. And honestly, if they did, I'd probably be like, you know, it's just not a good fit at this time. But in the meantime, I'm more than happy to be like, hey, not right now. That's like the Hollywood no. There's really been, I've tried it both ways where I'm like, I just don't think it's a good fit. And you get people who are like, yeah, I understand. And I'm like, you know, you could work on X, Y, and Z. And they're like, okay, cool. And I'll tell somebody if I think they're going to be cool with that. Like if I meet a young entrepreneur, I'm like, listen, you are interesting, but you need to work on your vocal tonality. You need to work on your vocal presence. It's going to be an issue on the show. But I'm happy to have you on in a couple months if you can improve. And they're like, oh my God, thank you. No one's ever told me that. But there's other people that you go, hey, you know what? I don't think it's going to be a good fit. And they're like, well, F you for wasting my time, and right. I'm amazing, and I'm so smart, and what books do you have that are, you know, in the top 10 in Amazon in their category? Nothing. You're just a low-life podcaster. You don't know anything. And I'm like, okay, well, I sure didn't need that.
Yeah.
And that guy just, and usually after that, I just go, well, thanks for affirming that I made the right decision. And then they get really angry because they know that they just totally blew it and that you're right.
Well, one of the things I think is really cool when I was listening to your show is we mentioned that really out of the gate, it was pretty much you and Emily with Sex with Emily were kind of the pioneers in that genre. And yet when I listen, is that a regular feature, just the tip? Is that like,
okay, listen to this. This is really, wow. This is kind of what we do with the Podcasters Roundtable, right? Myself, Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast, Ray Ortega from PodcasterStudio.com. We get together and do a podcast together about podcasting. Not so much a how-to podcast, but some of the discussions in the podcast community. And that then cross-promotes our show. And here you'll see where Jordan is doing. This is a great idea. Check this out.
Like every episode?
What I've done is, Emily's a good friend of mine. So what I do is I'll say, hey, Emily, we've been friends for a long time. Your demographic's very similar to mine. What I would like to do is get a bunch of your guys listening to my show and get a bunch of my guys listening to your show. What do you say? And any podcaster worth their salt says, yeah, that's awesome. The best way to do that is to cross promote. And so what we've done, and I've modified this since working with Emily, but I send plenty of guys to her because of just the tip. She puts those same tips in her show. And so her guys will come and listen to my show being like, who's this Jordan guy from The Art of Charm? He's so charming and funny on those tips, you know, or whatever. And so they'll listen to that and then they'll come over and check out what we've got and they'll find us that way. Another thing I've done, I've got some guys in the fitness niche and I recorded a bunch of tips with them. And then I recorded a bunch of about fitness for my show. And then I recorded a bunch of social tips for their show. And so now they're sharing their audience with me. I'm sharing my audience with them. I'm a lot bigger than they are right now, but it doesn't really matter because even if I only get 1,000 new listeners from them, that's great. Even if they get 5,000 from me, I don't mind because we're friends and they're not going to turn around and be like, we're dating coaches now, you know, and take like all my fans away from me. When it's not realistic. So I do that partnership with other podcasters who have a similar demo and audience size.
Well, I always think in the end, if you're sending them to somebody whose quality, yeah, they're going to get something out of their podcast, but they're also going to go, wow, it's so cool that you sent them there. They're going to remember the person who gave them the cool link.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that people will do. They know us at the Art of Charm is like the cool hunters, the head of the pack when it comes to that. So people go, now what's that? What that's done is said, hey, I saw you love these guys, Road to Ripped or Sex with Emily. Have you heard of this guy? And I'm like, no, because I don't surf the web all day. And that's great because my fans do. And I love that. So they're like, cool. Well, you should totally have him on. He's got like 60,000 subscribers and he's really cool and he's really smart. And I'm like, cool. Can you make an email intro? And then I'll talk to that guy. And he's like, I can't believe I haven't heard of you. And I'm like, I can't believe I haven't heard of you. So we do a podcast and then he blasts it out to all his people. And I'm suddenly 10,000 listeners or, you know, whatever, richer for the fact, if you can call it that. And he's got a bunch of people going, dude, that's amazing. James Clear stuff is great. And then, or whoever it is, James Clear, I just interviewed. He's an awesome dude. And then I'm like, this is fantastic. You know, now we're sharing value here. And now, of course, he's super stoked because he's got a bunch of new subscribers from me. I'm super stoked because I got a bunch of new listeners from him. And people who really see value in both of those areas, they start consuming that content. And so now they're like, Jordan, thanks. You know, I love your stuff. And then I just lost 30 pounds using this Road to Ripped guy's ideas. And I'm a hero for that. For what? Airing a tip? Sure, I'll take it. And so it's something that I try to do with other podcasters. The problem is it's hard to find because a lot of people don't have a show that I want to send people to or a similar demo maybe, even if I do like them. And so it's tough. The other thing is there's just, you gotta uphold your value and you gotta trust people because I've definitely done things where I'm like, I just aired our interview and they're like, yeah, you're dead to me, you know? And I'm like, but you were going to promote. And they're like, yeah, I don't care about you anymore. There's a few of those guys around and they don't last very long, but it does burn you and you got to make sure that you're managing your business. Otherwise, you know, you can go flat. So to that end, I would say if you're ever having to sacrifice your integrity, and this goes for podcasting and in business, don't do it because it's not going to work. There's been every time I can really count where I'm like, this guy's not a fit, but you know, he promised us he would send it out to this and he's going to market it like that and he's going to do this and we're going to be on that. I'm like, but I just don't like it. I'll do my end and then I'll get an email like, thanks. And then I'll be like, hey, when are you going to do that? And we're not really interested in that anymore. And I'm like, did you really just screw me on that? And they're like, yep, eat it. I got an email chain like that. And I saved it because I wanted to go, this is what happens when you sacrifice your integrity for a dollar. And this was years ago, but I have it here because I go, that's right. I never liked this guy. I always thought he was a stinker. And then it bit me. And like, that's my own fault because my gut said, this guy's a scam artist. So luckily that's an episode I was able to delete a long time before that. But I did get a couple of emails from guys who were like, I bought those things from that guy and they didn't work. And now he won't give me a refund. And I'm like, yep, saw that coming. Sorry.
Well, speaking of integrity, this is one of the things that really, when we were talking earlier, to me, I was like, wow, this is somebody here again that's thinking outside of the box. To me, the difference between good and great usually isn't, you know, writing somebody's name in the sky. It's going just, it's doing the things, the other things that people don't want to do. And so there are plenty of slimy people in the dating industry, you know, that do this and get chicks and blah, blah, blah. And the thing that floored me is talk a little bit about if somebody wants to sign up for your boot camp. It's not just a case of here's your check.
Right. No. I used to do that. But then here's the thing. Our boot camps are residential programs in Los Angeles. Guys fly in from all over the world. I just registered three people from China last week. And to give you an example, we get Australians in here all the time. So guys are like, I'm in Arizona. I can't get there. It's like, okay, nice try. Find another excuse. But guys will come in from all over the world. They stay with us for 6 days at a training facility that we have in LA. We go out during the day. We go out at night. It's not pickup artist school. It's charisma school. We go through a lot of body language, vocal tonality, eye contact, the way you sit, stand, walk, and talk. And it's not for guys with tape on their glasses. We just had a class of Green Berets come through. I don't just have some guy whose check clears come through the door. Essentially, the way that it works is I will have a screening call with everybody for an hour. I want to find out what their goals are to make sure we're a good fit for them. But I also want to make sure they're a good fit for us because we cap those programs at 7 guys. So it really just takes one weirdo that I screened poorly to come in and like ruin the whole program for everybody. And well, it's a 60-hour program. You don't want to be next to an axe murderer.
Well, here again, I think about this. What is he thinking about here? Not how much money he's going to make. He's thinking about his audience, or in this case now, his students. So when you listen there, he talks about his integrity and how I love the fact that he's like, yeah, I used to do this and I got burned. I did this and it didn't work. I did this and my audience got burned. So he's completely pulling back the curtain here to say, we talked about that growing and learning. And here again, you can see now he's thinking through the experience of his students. And so as podcasters, we need to think about when we get guests on our show, when we get things like that, how is this going to benefit our listeners and our viewers? So it's all about integrity. That's the only thing. When we all start podcasting, we all have zero listeners and we have integrity. And it's up to us to how do I get that number while keeping my integrity? That's why I was really impressed when he told me about that.
Well, I was going to say, how do you define weirdo?
If I get a call from somebody and they're like, yeah, you know, I've dated a lot. I got out of a long relationship. I don't have a very social job. I'm a software engineer. I just want to be able to get the girls and be in the relationships that I think I have potential to be in. And also I'd like to get a promotion at work. And I know it's all about who you know. And so I want to build that network. And I'm thinking about leaving my career and starting my own thing, but I really need networking and entrepreneurial skills to do that. So your boot camp seems like a great fit. And I'm like, cool, welcome. But then I'll get a guy on the other hand who doesn't get to come in and he'll go, I just got out of a relationship and she was a cheating bee. And like, you know, she's just, you know, women have all the power. And so I need to up my hand so I can have the power in my next relationship. I'm like, that is a red flag of a guy who has anger issues. He's here because he wants to manipulate people. He's not going to use this for white hat stuff. He's probably going to go dark hat because he's hurt and those who are hurt. You know, I'm a coach, so I know I've got all kinds of cool cliches. Like those who are hurt, those who are healed, right? So like, it's true in a lot of ways. If you come in and you've got all this negativity, I will send you to a therapist instead.
And so that, my friends, is called knowing your target audience. And for me, right this year, I kind of coined the phrase, this show is for the serious hobbyist. It's not for the person who wants to do podcasting for free. That's not the school of podcasting. It's not the person that wants to just, we're serious about making the best content we can. And so I love the fact that Jordan here is saying, no, I know how I can, I want people that I can help. I want people that are going to take my knowledge and use it for good and not for bad. I love that. It's a little thing we call integrity.
If you call me and you say that you want to learn how to do this stuff because you have a sales job and you need to generate rapport with clients, that's great. If you come to me and you say this, that you want this stuff because you sell things to people and it's something that is not legal, or you want to sell people snake oil and you're a, you know, a hardcore marketer of diet pills or something, I will not let you in. I just don't want you here. I don't need your money. It's not going to change my life. You know, so I'd rather have my integrity and be able to sleep at night. So I do a lot of that. I do a lot of that. And fortunately, I don't need to screen a lot of people out because I think dirtbags don't resonate with the Art of Charm anyway. They just don't.
They just don't. And that, again, is where I say your podcast. One thing I love about my show is everybody that listens, like you right now, I know if I got you on the phone, I would probably love everything you do. I bet you have the same sarcasm. I bet you're pretty funny. I bet you're a pretty cool person. And I think people that listen to your show are a lot like you. That's one of the reasons a lot of people get into podcasting is they want to find like-minded people. And the dirtbags are not going to like Jordan's show.
They listen and they go, eh, there's Black Hat stuff somewhere else.
Yep. And I actually heard an episode, as much as this about, you know, how to meet women and how to connect with the opposite sex, you actually have tips in there for married people as well. So you're kind of, to me, I think it's interesting. And again, this is why I think you're different. It's not just here are the top 10 pickup lines. That's cheesy, sleazy stuff. It's like, here's how you can change your thought and be more confident. Here's how you can do this and find a sense of humor. Here's how you can do this. Here's how you can have a better attitude. Here's how you can be more happy and positive. And then when you think about it, if I'm more confident, if I'm more cheerful to be around, if I'm not a big nagger, hey, what do you know? I might actually attract the opposite sex. And that's when I was like, this is a whole different program. And it does make you set aside and step out and be different than your competition. So that's when I was like, okay, I can see why this guy, you're making, I think you said on the Podcasters Roundtable, 7 figures.
Yeah, it's a 7-figure business. Yeah, it really is. And it's been going for a long time and it seems to be growing quite well. So,
well, how do you go about, that's going to be the question. If I don't ask this, my audience will be like, why didn't you ask this guy that question? How do you go about promoting your show? How do you grow your audience?
I'm constantly asking the guests to promote, and I won't have a guest who says I won't promote. It's just, I just won't do it, because what that does, and I've realized this recently, and it's not just because I need your listeners, you jerk. It's because If you say, hey, come on my show and talk about what you do, I might go, cool, I don't need to really prepare because it's his audience and it's his show. And it's going to, if it sounds bad, then it's on him. And I'll just go and pitch my stuff. I don't think like that, but a lot of people do. But if I go, this is going to go out to your audience too, they go, okay, well, I can't sell people I've already sold. And I've got to tell them something that's more in depth than I would, you know, have on the front page of my website. So I need to have a think on that. And also, I can't sound like really markety because my buyers are already going to be bought. So that's not going to sound good. So if you create some, if you tell them that their people have to hear it too, then they tend to be much more high quality and much more engaged, because then they're not just talking to your audience and getting a crack at your wallet. They're talking to their own people. And they're much more engaged because of that. And so not only does that grow your audience because of the high quality, but it grows your audience because, of course, they promote the stuff. Even if they end up doing a half-arse job promoting it, they still will do it a little bit, and that'll grow the audience. Not to mention, I like to go and do tons of podcast appearances and talk about this stuff and not sell things and just go to theartofcharmpodcast.com, check it out, subscribe in iTunes, you know, please do that, write me a review, all that stuff. That stuff works really well. Of course, doing the promo with other podcasters works really well. But at the end of the day, the best thing that I have done is just create really, really good stuff, not release garbage, and do it consistently.
Amen, brother. I appreciate that. Well, I realize you're busy, and I do appreciate all the time you've taken, man. And
this is fun.
Jordan, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
And there we go. Now, I got to tell you, I did a mistake here. And it's kind of a cool thing, but kind of a bad thing. Is as we were doing this, I had questions set out ahead of time. And I was kind of, you know, I used those as a backup. But I was so into the conversation with just having a chat with my buddy Jordan that I completely lost track of the time. And so we talked for a while, and I actually he probably got off the Skype call. I was like, man, I thought that Never guy was going to let me leave. I don't know. Maybe not. He seemed like a really cool guy. But one thing we didn't talk about was the Art of Charm, the website. And that's really kind of not cool, Dave, that this guy came on. Now, obviously, he came on just arms open wide to explain how he did what he did. But if you go over to theartofcharm.com, you can actually try it. Now, this is not an affiliate link, by the way. You can try it for 99 cents. And if you're a single male, now here again, I don't know. I have no inside knowledge of this. I've not gone to the Art of Charm, although I think there's probably stuff in here about if I'm an entrepreneur, if I'm in business and I want to go in, because there is a whole section of the science of attraction. He said hitting the button and having the video start here in the background. But just by knowing him from the Podcasters Roundtable, a little bit I know there, and the bit I talked on with him here on the show, you know, here are some things. The Art of Attraction, why your words aren't important. Success with women, why luck has nothing to do with it. Here's one way to charm a Valentine's Day. And there are all sorts of things. Yes, it's about connecting with women, but it's like I said, to me, it's about how to make yourself confident, how to be, I don't know, a joy to be around. Those things not to do. It's interesting. So, Jordan, for the record, buddy, I'm sorry we didn't really talk a lot about the Art of Charm. Now, the cool thing is, Jordan did say, because there were things I wanted to talk about, he has a plugin that does dynamic ad insertion, and it's a plugin. And I was like, dude, you gotta, you know, make that public. Let us all buy that. And that was interesting that he had that done. So there are other things I would like to talk with him about on the business side, maybe, of his podcast. And what was really cool is he was like, yeah, anytime, we'll schedule it ahead. And he's a good guy. And I love guys like this that, again, here is a guy that has the heart of a trainer, right? He wants to help people. And he's seeing people that are like, wow, this is really, really cool. Now, obviously, in his case, he's found a way to monetize it because people said, I would like to give you money. How cool would that be, huh? So, Jordan, thank you so much. Everybody, you can find Jordan at theartofcharm.com. I am now a subscriber on my Stitcher. I've been listening, and it's an interesting podcast. You can find him at theartofcharm.com, facebook.com, theartofcharm, on Twitter, at theartofcharm. So, Jordan, thank you so much for coming on, and look to connect with you again in the future sometime. We talked about the ability to touch people's hearts. And that's one of the greatest things about podcasting. And if you want to start a podcast, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on join now. And I have step-by-step tutorials that'll walk you through the whole thing. And you can start changing people's lives. You can start getting the word out on a global audience. Get people in Vietnam going, wow, I listen to your show. Amazing stuff. So thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate it. If you want to have, I would love to hear your feedback. You can call in your comments. It's 888-563-3228. That number again is 888-563-3228, or just go out to schoolpodcasting.com/contact. And there's all sorts of ways to get in on the conversation. So thank you so much for tuning in. I want to remind you that it is time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And we'll see you next week, where we talk about what makes you, you. And the fact that maybe podcasting isn't so saturated. We're going to talk about being unique. And so look forward to connecting with you next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Take care and God bless.